Newsom's new attack on political enemies, you're gay. Governor Gavin Newsom's aides said that their online insults were meant to ridicule figures on the right, but some critics say they are homophobic. The press office of Governor Gavin Newsom of California, which has embraced a social media style that mimics President Trump's pugnacious tone, has recently taken to needling conservative critics with posts that suggest they are gay or effeminate. Is this supposed to be an April? Dude, media sites do an April Fool's joke? When the conservative commentator Benny Johnson posted a clip on X last week in which he discussed allegations of fraud in California, Mr. Newsom's press office responded by suggesting that Mr. Johnson's team uses the popular gay dating app Grindr. We got a call from Grindr after this and said your team was their biggest users. It posted on X. I don't know why I have to explain this. I don't know who these like wannabe wokies are or like the weird wokies that have no clue like how being woke works or what any of this shit ever meant. Or maybe it is what the people always meant. They're just actually fucking retarded. The reason why it's funny to needle conservatives about like gay stuff or abortion stuff is because they're so unbelievably homophobic or anti-abortion or whatever else. That's where the humor comes from. The humor isn't that like, haha, you're gay and being gay is bad. It's, wow, you guys have a lot of strange sexual proclivities given how insanely judgmental or trying to litigate shit you guys are on like every facet of society. Like that's the joke, right? But this week, the office shared a TMZ report showing pictures of Senator Lindsey Graham, a South Carolina Republican, in Disney World as the Department of Homeland Security remained shut down. Divas still need a vacation, the governor's press office wrote. And earlier this year, when Mr. Newsom, a Democrat, got into a long and involved skirmish with Scott Bessent, the first openly gay Treasury Secretary at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, his press office posted, Scott Bessent flew across the ocean to star in The Real Housewives of Davos and can't stop talking about how hot he thinks Governor Davos Daddy Newsom is. Well, I guess this is homophobic or just... Also, is Scott Bessent openly gay? I didn't know that, but I guess they said he is, so... Mr. Newsom's posts are dividing his allies. Some people are likening them to schoolyard homophobic insults and said he should do better or drop them. He should not have said that, said former Representative Barney Frank of Massachusetts, who came out in 1987 and was for decades the most prominent openly gay politician in the country. It uses sexual orientation as an accusation, which is wrong. Is this guy a very relevant political figure today and I just missed it? Barney Frank of Massachusetts. Maybe I'd recognize him. We're digging pretty deep here to try to find people to... Okay. Them, an LGBTQ plus publication, wrote that Mr. Newsom's account had been posting sentiments that are, frankly, homophobic. Gavin Newsom is being weirdly homophobic yet again. Feels unbelievable that we have to say this in 2026, but calling people gay as an insult is, in fact, still bad, no matter who says it or who it's directed at. And it's particularly egregious coming from Newsom, who has been increasingly promoting anti-trans talking points. Last March, Newsom invited the late right-wing influencer Charlie Kirk onto the first episode of his podcast, This is Gavin Newsom. When Kirk said that Democrats should condemn trans-feminine athletes competing in sports, Newsom responded, I think it's an issue of fairness. I completely agree with you on that. It is an issue of fairness. It's deeply unfair. Should condemn? That's a word. Okay. That podcast episode was then cited by Republican politicians in order to support legislation that would have restricted trans girls from participating on girls' sports teams at the collegiate and K-12 levels. He's continued to double down on these talking points about trans athletes since then, even though evidence has shown that trans women do not experience an overall athletic advantage over cis women. Newsom's anti-LGBTQ plus stances aren't limited to just talk, nor to the trans community alone. Last year, he was widely condemned for cutting $40 million for the California Department of Public Health's Office of Health Equity. Do you think this guy, is this really an ally? This is divided Mr. Newsom's allies. Is them, I wonder if this is a site that's like liberal or if it's all like tanky slop or if the author is, I don't know. Let's check some news articles. I'm just curious. Oh, actually it literally might just be, it's called them. So maybe it's just about LGBTQ plus issues. Jesus. What? I like how this is pointed out right on the, what, on this article here. Obviously, we're not here to condemn cross-dressing at them or anyone exploring their gender presentation. However, we would be remiss to not point out the irony of the report, given Kristi Noem's long history of opposing queer and trans rights. Cross-dressing is not inherently considered queer or trans, as exploring your gender presentation ultimately has no gender. They have had a shitload of anti-Gavin Newsom recently. Really? California's Democratic governor was once considered an LGBTQ plus ally. So what's with the heel turn? Find something you love as much as Gavin Newsom loves having anti-trans pundits on his podcast. Oh my God. One of the reasons why I say this all the time, but one of the reasons why I keep saying like, these people are not our allies, these people are not our team, is because this article hits a lot different if it's like third party attacks Newsom over stances on LGBTQ plus stuff or whatever. But instead it's Newsom's posts are dividing his allies, but these people are not our allies, right? But it will never read that way. Oh, Jesus. Another one, Destiny. Gavin Newsom gave California Republicans ammo to try to pass anti-trans bills. Nice. All by different authors, too. A lot of authors here really fucking hate Gavin Newsom. Jane Natoli, or Natalie, a member of the Board of Equality California, a leading LGBTQ rights organization, said that every time the governor's office sent a new post in this vein, she and others at the organization would text it to each other with eye roll emojis. She said she does not think Mr. Newsom should revert to cheap homophobia jokes. It's so odd to see the former mayor of the most gay-friendly city in America, San Francisco, use homosexuality as a slur. Oh my God. Mondaire Jones, a former representative who in 2020 became one of the first openly gay black men elected to Congress, said he did not take issue with the posts. I don't think Gavin Newsom is homophobic, Mr. Jones said, laughing. He noted that the governor had been at the forefront of securing rights for gay Americans. Some of the Republican criticisms of the posts have been complicated by the party's own habit of suggesting that Democratic opponents are gay. Oh my God. New York Times article. Here's what I'm trying to divorce myself from all the programming of enemies in the past, okay? And I think one of the programming things, I've said this before, like on and off, but I think the you're obsessed thing, I think that was a bad, we have to eject that from our minds as like a valuable form of criticism control or tone policing. I've said this a lot. I have a conversation in a few days with Frank Fukuyama and then Tim Miller as well. I kind of want to stress this point of like political teams. I'm trying to think of how to best express this like team sports thing. And one of the things that I tried to think about that I feel like kind of brings this up to like some salient point, I think you can actually look at it and see this like really well illustrated when you see who rises up to defend people when they're attacked. So like to see where the teams are, like who's invested in what. When Hassan is getting raked over the coals for the just like an insane amount of like legitimately unhinged, crazy fucking shit. This guy has said, sometimes I wish that people would ditch the 9/11 comments because of all the things he said, those are easily the most justifiable. Like he's just said so much unbelievably crazy fucking shit. But look at like all of the work from the tanky communities to try to get, you know, this huge acceptance for Hassan or to try to get people to glaze over, or using all of his like out of context, and then they never provide the context, or sometimes they provide the context and the context makes it even worse. Is this site owned by Zateo? Is this owned by Mehdi Hassan, or is he just like a contributor here? Mehdi Unfiltered. When you attack anybody on the right, you also have this similar thing where you activate this whole network of defenders who will rise up to defend all these people. And when I say defend, they defend like past these like points of incredulity where they're just like saying that things that are happening just like aren't happening. Like we would be having media reports every single day if Biden was showing up with the same weird fucking rashes that Trump does anywhere, or there's like a billion things that we would be talking about constantly. However, if you think about like the center left getting attacked, like when somebody attacks Schumer or somebody attacks Newsom or somebody attacks Pelosi, who rises up to defend these people? There's like literally fucking nobody, right? Like you're like always completely on a fucking island. There is no like network of center left, like CNN will dogpile, New York Times will dogpile, like everybody will just dogpile you. And there's literally nothing that you can do about it. It works though. Do you know how many people on the left don't believe Hassan shocked his dog despite the videos and overwhelming evidence? Yeah, a decent chunk of them, yeah. Somebody said that Vosh's community was convinced that I made that up. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't have a thread for that. If you ask someone with the same name, they need to help you. You should reach out to Steve Bannon. Steve and Steve versus Hassan and Hassan. Bannon would never target somebody like Hassan. Remember, the far left, these tankies, and the Republicans never, ever, ever. It really is like a recreation of like World War, post-World War One Germany, where you have like the KPD and the whatever the fuck they were called. Is it NSPD or whatever? The Nazi Party? NSDP? Is it the National Socialist Democratic Party? What were they called? Whatever. Like you have these guys working together to try to like take down it was the Social Democrats in Germany, but NSDAP. They say he shocked his dog, but they always go on a big rant about how shocking dogs isn't that bad. No, most of them will flat out deny it. Taylor Lorenz flat out denied it. Unfortunately, not even kidding, when the Kaya thing happened, I literally heard a kid arguing with his friend about how it was a fake accusation in a coffee shop here while working on my laptop. Yeah, that's not surprising at all to me. Have you considered how many people have drawn a line against you strictly over Israel-Palestine? I feel like Mehdi and some others are genuinely net positives, but Israel-Palestine is such a make or break thing. I don't know, it feels like it shouldn't be that way. I think there's something else at play there. If Israel-Palestine is a make or break thing, thing, then something is more brain broken there than just Israel-Palestine, I think. If there's no room for disagreement on that, then something else is wrong with you. So you shouldn't see those people as like, fuck, it's so close. Like, that's like the people who make those posts who are like, I have the perfect boyfriend, like, he's super nice and everything, but he like shits himself on all over the bed all the time and he never cleans up. Like, what should I do? It's like, bro, something, there's no way this guy is perfect in every way, size, shape, or form. In that vein, are there any plans to get Clippers / community gathering Hassan's most insane statements / actions put into one place in a way that normies can't deny? It seems like since his shit is buried in VODs, it's hard to find his statements. I mean, people are doing that, but it doesn't really matter. Like, the facts of any of these things don't matter. Like, what matters is that you don't have anybody to fight the fights, basically. Like, people are latching on to Hassan now, but they're literally doing it exclusively through the lens of this like anti-Semitic shit, which is somewhat fair, I guess, because he is mega anti-Semitic, but it's so much worse than that, I think. Have you seen that Tim Miller's live streaming style? Have you talked to him about it since that? Maybe, I don't know. We're having a chat soon. How do you even reach people if you make a full video breaking down his clips, etc.? Only people who agree with you will get in their algo. What's the way to break through? Well, you have to have other people who are... The problem is just like everybody on the liberal side, and I think it's just because nobody's done it yet. Nobody on the liberal side will stand up to defend any other liberal. I'm genuinely curious, where was the strong defense of, or was there a strong defense of, like, Chorus when Taylor wrote that article? Like, did any other, I'm sure there were a couple of YouTubers that said it, but were there any other large? I'm so ass paint over that how that whole Chorus thing exploded. I think you need to drop the term tanky. I've never heard anyone say that IRL. Yeah, but what do you say? I don't like the term socialist, because the reason why these guys are able to mask on so hardcore is because nobody knows what the fuck a socialist is. And people will they'll define themselves as being a socialist just because they want like more government spending on things. So it allows Hassan to like mask on and pretend to be, you know, like, oh, I just want healthcare. You need to draw a hard line between Democrats and these so-called leftists. I mean, I do, but nobody else does. Everybody else capitulates. Everybody else capitulates like crazy. And I just don't know how to make them not do this. So deeply opposing Israel's murder of countless civilians makes you brain broken. First of all, for the Middle East, I don't know what you think countless means. You're not even close. Secondly, I never said you couldn't be opposed to it, ever. So I don't know where you got that idea from. Your Israel takes are your greatest rhetorical blunder, to be honest. But the pedantic legal spirals were worth it, I guess. I mean, like, if you want to be a retard, if you have no strong values, if you're too lazy to do any research, if you think history is irrelevant, if you don't want to engage with the international community or international law, and if you think the most important thing is to just join sides with a bunch of people who are anti-Western and really anti-Semitic in order to further your political aims, I guess, with a group of people who are never going to align with you anyway, then congratulations, bro. You got it. You nailed it. Our side has to get over the, we need to agree that criticism is always warranted, or else you seem biased trope. Yeah, or like the way that we criticize ourselves has to come from different places, yeah. There was a European fucker that came here, I don't remember who he was, but he talked about parallel structures. And then I just had a talk in private recently with the organizers of a think tank thing or whatever, I can't say much about it yet, but like, it was interesting because these people don't watch my stream much, but they brought up how important they think it is that there need to be parallel liberal structures. And now I'm kind of thinking about...
What do you mean by parallel liberal structures, though?
As in, like, if they've got a 7-inch dick, we've got a... no, that, like, conservatives have this whole establishment of, like, think tanks where they've got, like, even when they don't have a president, they have, like, a continuing conservative thought that... And this conservative thought is not necessarily held ransom by social media or public opinion or politicians. It's just like thinker dudes that are like, what do we want as conservatives? We'll go back and forth with kind of lawmakers, future lawmakers, like political heads, but it's not going to be like necessarily a public debate, right? And then what you get is that you get, even when there's a Democratic president, they can continue their chain of like ideology and thought. And then as soon as they get into office, they can just fucking ship it, whatever they're doing. The best example of this recently would be the Heritage Foundation with Project 2025. They had a whole thing of stuff that they were fucking ready to hit the road on. Is that website still up? How much of Project 2025, how much has it been implemented? The Trump administration by February 2026 has initiated or completed 53%. 283 of the 532 recommended actions identified in this tracker have been put into action. I don't know what the liberal equivalent is. I guess I don't know all the big think tanks. There must be liberal think tanks. But like, it's funny because the only think tank that I ever go to for arguments is the fucking Cato Institute, which is libertarian. Bottom of this wiki page has a list of these think tanks, including the Heritage Foundation. Brookings? Are you looking for liberal think tanks? Yeah, I guess like the question is, because when we're not in power, when we don't have the presidency, when we don't have an Obama or a Biden in office, like the whole liberal movement just kind of evaporates. It like disappears.
It's, it's like a waiting game, yeah?
Yeah, it goes into hibernation. For someone to go like, into we don't have like a, it doesn't feel like we have a consistent strain of thought that somebody is like kind of workshopping in the background ideologically and then figuring out, going back and forth with the lawmakers, like how to sell it to the public. And that just like doesn't, it feels like it just doesn't exist. And therefore, as a result of that, as a result of that lack of ideology, that parallel structure to the conservative ideology, there is no strong thing to resist, like the strong thing to resist, like the conservative ideological stickiness. How do you say it? Like a thing that sticks around for a long time, even when they're not in power. Thirdway.org is the biggest liberal think tank. Do these people have like a deep relationship with lawmakers and everybody else? I don't know. I just feel like I never hear about these things or see their train of thought carried through as much as the Republicans. There's a general psychological difference between right and left in terms of mobilization and prioritization. R equals energy towards the object, L equals energy towards the abstract. No, don't think about it. This is not true. These weird things about like how there's like a fundamentally altered psychology between people is not. Could you consider higher education the institution that continues the liberal tradition? No. I'm not talking just random stuff. I'm saying like the Heritage Foundation, like what is the Project 2025 equivalent on like the liberal side? This is not like, oh, people go to college and get educated, ha ha ha. Like this is not at all even remotely close to what I'm talking about. Like this is like a huge group of contributing thinkers who are going back and forth with each other, with lawmakers, to have like a consistent set of policy aims that further like a consistent ideology. Even if they lose elections, this type of stuff is being worked on constantly in the background, talks about how to implement it, about how to stymie democratic progress to implement their things. Like
you're looking for a thing that while Democrats aren't in power in the future, that they're still working on something coherent and like working together to move there are forward like their movement when they do.
Yeah, torchbearers of ideology in the background. Yeah. Are you saying this is not unique to MAGA? Like, it will still be there when Trump is gone? The Heritage Foundation is not MAGA. Yeah, this is always here for Republicans, or at least has been in my lifetime, I believe.
I'm interested in what you're talking about here. I think it's actually kind of mind-blowing that Democrats / liberals don't have anything in the background set up.
Yeah, I'm just looking at, like, all the seems attacks and fightings. I'm trying to communicate to people to understand, like, what is the easiest way to, what is the easiest way to kind of, like, demonstrate what I mean when I talk about, like, political teams. So, like, I'm looking at, like, if you look at the Hassan stuff recently, like, when he's getting attacked, it's like there's this whole network of defenders that light up to kind of show up to defend even the like insane stuff. And you're seeing that right now, that's kind of like activated all across social media. And then for MAGA, obviously, their whole network will light up to defend any single individual that gets hit in this network. And you have this, they've got like this ideological backing that's carried on through these think tanks and these movements. And then you've got every single person who's like plugged into it. It allows them also, like I used to say this all the time, like Trump is whatever you want to be, is an empty vessel. It allows them to fill those empty vessels to continue their political program as well. And their like thinker elite people can kind of do it independent of the population. They don't have to worry about it as much. Like even though the Republican Party kind of lost itself to Trump, they were still able to push so much of their ideology through Trump, which is really impressive, you know?
So what's your current like I guess prescription. How are you moving this forward, et cetera?
Well, I mean, like the parallel structures need to be created. There's all sorts of stuff that needs to happen. But I think one of the big issue is that the first step is always just recognition. Like people need to recognize what's going on. What about the Gravel Institute? That's a deeply unserious joke shit thing. I don't care, give a fuck. I think that I was going to say, you do see the scary thing starting up though on the far left, where they do have these like kind of weird, I don't know if you'd say think tanks or what you'd call them, but they have their weirdo publications and everything that kind of serve as this like this strain of ideological thought, because you've seen like all these people like Hassan and all these types like carry on this strain of thought. Even though they have no electoral victories, they still manage to have a coherent ideology with coherent political figures that all kind of like show up to defend them and everything. Oh, but yeah, that the most important thing is people just need to recognize this. Oh, I just read this stupid fucking article. Were you listening to the New York Times article?
No, I was doing something. What happened?
Newsom's new attack on political enemies. You're gay. Governor Gavin Newsom's aides said that their online insults were meant to ridicule figures on the right, but some critics say they are homophobic. And it's just like, what the fuck? Like, this is where we're at right now? Like, it's just so stupid to me.
Yeah. Is it just like an opinion piece, yeah?
Is it, or is it reporting? I mean, it's like,
I guess it's kind of reporting, yeah.
No, this is reporting. I don't know if I would call this an opinion piece. No, this is just reporting. Because they're reporting on what other people are saying. It's not necessarily giving his own opinion, yeah. But then it's like, when I look at, like, who are the allies that they're bringing up? These people are like, they have a politician from the 80s and 90s, a House representative. And then they have a magazine called Them, which looks like it writes a ton of shit about Gavin Newsom negatively. And it's like, are these, who are his allies that are being divided? Like, I don't know, it just seems stupid to me. I'm not sure as much if there is as much infighting on the left as it seemed there was, or if it's always just the perception of infighting on the left. But most of the quote unquote infighting comes from like the socialists and the Dem socks and the ultra progressives.
The people further to the left are hitting the people in the middle. It's like you're having to fight against like Republicans, exactly. Plus also the people who are also at the same time trying to say that they're on your side, mm-hmm. but they're constantly trying to just stab you in the back and use you.
If you had to estimate how much of Hassan defense is because of his political opinions and lefty defenders versus entrenchment in the network of Twitch streamers / social media personalities, oh no, it's an ideological thing, 100%. Also, what the fuck is this? I need the archive version of this. Taylor Lorenz's screen time is almost 17 hours a day. April 1st, 2026. Do you think this is a joke or?
Probably, yeah. Looks pretty retarded.
But it's Taylor Lorenz, like it could be
issue, yeah.
Shit, like she's been on a tweeting spree. You know, like she doesn't believe in any kind of like social media addiction or anything like that, right?
Has she said this in the past?
She tweets about it literally all the time. Yes. Oh, she's okay. Like, all of this is completely and totally fake.
I just don't know how you can believe that.
3 months
ago.
Does she
know what like, the definition of addiction is?
There is no such thing as social media addiction. In fact, treating social media as an addiction when it's not makes it harder for users to moderate use. And the idea that big tech isn't 10,000% on board with the massive surveillance laws you're advocating for is a joke. Ket Tenbarge and I discussed the social media addiction lawsuit and why the verdict is absolutely not about holding big tech accountable, blah, blah, blah. And how media addiction claims are being used to censor annual LGBTQ people, immigrants, and all of us. Watch here. She is literally like obsessed with like having social media, begging people to stop falling for moral panic. Social media addiction slop that is being used to further Meta's billion-dollar lobbying efforts.
Vaguely on the left, and you're out here claiming that the verdict in the social media addiction trial is a good thing, or that finally we're holding big tech accountable in this big tobacco moment. I need you to exercise an ounce of critical thinking. I'm a technology journalist, and I've been covering this specific legal fight for almost a decade. So let's start with some facts. The social media addiction trial was funded in part by a shadowy private equity firm and supported by a political coalition led by the Heritage Foundation and a slew of anti-LGBTQ hate groups, most notably Morality in Media. I would argue that none of these groups actually care about protecting children, and what they consider social media addiction is often just LGBTQ people talking.
I wonder if she deals with the merits of any of their arguments. This is another thing, too. Like, all these people, like, they operate in the exact same fucking way. Like, always identify opposing person's tribe, engage in as much peripheral character assassination as possible, never, ever, ever address any substance on any argument ever. Avoid critical confrontation at all points in time. Always unquestionably defend every single action by anyone else in the tribe, even if it means denying reality
to each other online. Regardless, the big issue here is the legal precedent these cases set and the political agenda that they're being used.
I assume her argument would be in the DSM, it's a substance use disorder.
Oh, maybe, for that, maybe, yeah. But I'm curious right now if she even argues against this thing or if it literally is just like, she's doing a version of like what Hassan would do, like, isn't he the guy that, you know, like that, yeah.
Precedent these cases set and the political agenda that they're being used to push. As soon as the verdict was issued in the social media addiction case, the parents of social media addicted children sprung into action pushing laws that they're advocating for. And those laws are mass surveillance and identity verification laws. They want to remove all anonymity from the internet and allow the government to censor any content deemed harmful to minors. This means content criticizing ICE, criticizing billionaires, LGBTQ content, or reproductive justice and health information. Groups like the Heritage Foundation and the Social Media Victims Law Center, who are leading this charge, are using this verdict to manufacture consent for the Kids Online Safety Act and repealing Section 230. Most importantly, though, politicians are using this idea of social media addiction to enact mass identity verification on the internet. This means that you could soon have to scan your face and upload your driver's license to do anything online, including even things like group chat messaging or checking a weather or calculator app. Ironically, this is something that Meta is currently spending billions of dollars lobbying for. So yes, did Meta lose $6 million in the short term? Sure. Now they're about to get a multi-billion-dollar win and will lose all access to anonymous information and communication. And you're already seeing this happen. Just yesterday, Representative John James celebrated the verdict in the social media addiction trial. He said that the verdict was proof that we need to pass the App Store Accountability Act to protect children. You know, that law that Meta is spending billions and billions of dollars to get passed? I know, it feels so good to feel like maybe for a second we got a win against big tech. We are sliding faster and faster into a techno-fascist hellscape. But part of why that's happening is because so many people on the broader left have been completely asleep at the wheel when it comes to tech policy. And the mainstream media is, of course, to blame too. A lot of the coverage of this social media addiction crusade has been awful. But that's why it's so crucial to educate yourself and learn about these mass surveillance and censorship laws. Do not let powerful billionaire-backed interest groups and tech companies themselves sell you on this moral panic slap that serves their political interests. Go to badinternetbills.com and you can learn all about these laws and how to fight back against them.
Wow. Okay.
So with this New York Times article, I'm reading it. It seems insane to me because we're like, I don't know if the term is woke scolding Gavin Newsom's team and et cetera, while the Trump administration is literally dismantling the republic as we know it. And we're here on the left side fighting about like if he's being a little mean to the gays.
Yeah, but another annoying thing, too, is that I don't know, like I feel like the article doesn't even really address like the meat of what is happening, right? So like, it's not really that Newsom or his press team, like, I don't think you can come at this in good faith and think they're homophobic. But you could argue that pointing out the hypocrisy on the conservative side by, you know, using what appears to be a homophobic attack against them, although you're trying to point out hypocrisy, that that in and of itself might be problematic. Like, I think that that's ripe for exploration. Like, you could have a conversation on that, but it's not. It's just like, oh, they're being homophobic and we don't think that's funny. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm not done with it yet, but yeah, I just got to basically, I'm like halfway through, I'm finishing it up.
Can you actually argue back? There has been a huge increase in surveillance state. She is literally right. Well, yeah, but yeah, I mean, like, there's a ton of surveillance stuff on all of our shit now online, but like the pushback right now, especially, also, I'm sorry, my sympathy for this, after all of you guys like literally fucking obsessed, like the past like 5 years of the internet has been pedo slop. And like now with the Epstein shit and everything too, like I just have no more sympathy for you guys who were crying about pedo slop in every single sector of the fucking planet. And then now when people are like, oh fuck, I guess we need ID laws for kids. And you're like, oh no. Like, okay, well, what did you want? What did you expect? What do you think is going to happen? Keyword here, correlates. TikTok usage likely also correlates with wearing baggy jeans. But there have been a mountain of peer-reviewed studies on social media's effect on mental health, and none have found any meaningful causal link. Based. True. I don't complain about pedo slop. Does Taylor Lorenz? No, probably not. I don't think she does. Destiny, that's retarded. If the ID laws did anything for the kids, it would be supported. The ID laws will absolutely prevent probably a good chunk of kids from accessing pornographic content. If you can't even admit that, then you're just a retard. You're not even worth arguing with. The real argument is whether or not it's worth it for every single person to have to submit their ID to a fucking Gooner database to keep kids off of porn websites. But if you're going to start from the position of, oh, I don't even think this will keep kids from accessing, then you're just a fucking retard. You're retarded. You're just not worth, you're just a retard. I don't believe in inbox zero. You kind of have to treat email as a newsfeed or a Twitter feed. You're going to miss some stuff, but you can't worry about it. What? Does she not check her email? What percentage of kids would it even stop for accessing pornographic content? My guess is probably 80% is what I put it at. Probably depends heavily on the age range. Like as you get to like 16, 17, that number probably goes down, but like anywhere from 10 to 16 or whatever is probably. Do you feel the same way about the AI age detection based on face scan stuff as you do about requiring ID? I think that the porn child thing is dramatically overblown. The idea that people are freaking the fuck out of a fucking 14-year-old goes on some porn website and it's like the end of their brain, I just think it's fucking retarded. But people are super motivated by that. And then now that we have like the Epstein child satanic sex cult shit all coming back, people are scared that their children are being recruited by OnlyFans, Pornhubbers or something. The bigger issue is children having social media accounts at such a young age. Yeah, I mean, I would say that's, I don't think that's good for them, but I don't know where the motivating issue is. How do you come to 80%? Genuinely curious how you're so far off. Oh, I know, dude. I'm just kidding. The average, I think, 13-year-old is fluent in Python, is already got Cursor. They're like familiar with 12 different IDEs. They've got 42 VPNs. They definitely know how to activate every single part of their network. And that, yeah, bro, my bad. Just kidding. That's the average user, by the way. The average computer user, by the way. One of the most important things that you learn when you do like user interface or web design is it doesn't matter if you throw up like arbitrary buttons or pages, because it definitely doesn't discourage like half the fucking people that would access a site if you throw up one stupid random arbitrary button in front of them. You can actually put up so many barriers and it won't actually impact the amount of people that access a thing at all. So good one, dude.
So what happens if the Supreme Court rules in favor of ending birthright citizenship?
Then going forward, nobody would get automatic citizenship just for being born on U.S. soil. Yeah.
What would it become? How would you get citizenship then? Because I don't think we have like a way baked in right now, do we?
Yeah. You inherit it from at least having one citizen parent.
Oh, just
right?
One mother?
Yeah. Or father, yeah.
Mother or dad. There's nobody in there named Ogre Boy.
And he does babble and, you know, sound like the brain's not doing too hot.
Bulwark on Hassan. Oh, my people. Are these guys ex-conservatives? We don't even have, my only good liberals are ex-conservatives.
That would be less good.
Yeah. I like the Hassan discourse that was started today. Sorry, I don't know if you'd jump in on this, but like, we could do another hour-long podcast. We were to make it all about Israel. Me and Sarah did a long Israel thing a couple weeks ago. So I'll just say that like the Hassan side of politics has been benefited by Israel's own actions lately. And you know, whether that be Lebanon or the death penalty rules or getting us into this war or whatever. Like that said, there was a tweet, I just had to pull this up, and it was about, there's a primary in California 11, San Francisco House District. Scott Wiener is one of the candidates, gay guy, state legislator. And then the other leading candidate is AOC's chief of staff. I'm going to butcher his name, Saikat. Anyway, Hassan is for the AOC chief of staff guy. But he posts this. He says, Nancy Pelosi's seat can go to the anti-Zionist former AOC chief of staff, will be a strong defender of class first politics, or a dude who visited Israel after October 7th and defended a Zionist censorship bill.
Anybody
who visited Israel.
Visited Israel after October 7th? What the fuck? I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Woo.
Now claims that he's an Israel skeptic sheepishly. I read that Pushkin and I was like, that's the problem with him? He visited Israel after October 7th? Like, Israel had a terrorist attack against them, and like the guy visited. I don't, again, like, if you want to say you don't want to support a House candidate that's going to support arms for Israel or a specific policy critique of our relationship with Israel, I'm very open to reformatting our relationship with Israel in a variety of ways. If your critique is that somebody visited Israel after October 7th, it's hard not to see that as anything other than just.
I love that, like, Israel has just become like a casual, like, thing, like a slur. I heard somebody tell me that they've heard people in real life say this, like, wow, you're very Israeli of you or something. When somebody does something like stupid or whatever, it's just like become the new it's just a thing you can say, and it's like, okay, holy shit. Very Israel coded. Yeah, I hear it all the time.
Oh yeah, I hear that. Yeah,
in real life, that's crazy.
No, online I hear people say Israel coded. Uh-huh. I don't hang out with people in real life, so
just overt anti-Semitism.
Sure, but you've also got all his previous comments that are also deeply anti-Semitic. Like, and that, this is going to be the problem. So this is always it, right? You can't beat something with nothing. And so if the only people who are going to talk about Israel clearly, and sort of forthrightly are the anti-Semites, you've got a problem. Like, you have to have people who are going to, and again, sorry to keep talking about my book, but this is, the premise is really about how you have to feed the beast. You have to feed the things the human being wants, right? And that is that goes to communications. It goes to policy. How do you do it for the good? How do you do it in a way that is not destructive, that is not predicated on hating a class of people or a group of people? Because the conflict merchants are upon us in so many ways that are meant to divide, that are meant to dehumanize certain categories of people. And that instinct is in everybody. To sort of do that. And so people have got to step forward. I don't care about, maybe it's a fresh face, maybe it's people that are existing, but like, you cannot be afraid to get into the field and define a place where you are feeding the good parts, meaning, I think, real skepticism of American foreign policy and the way that it is linked to Israel and the way that it has pulled us into this war. And by the way, I don't want to say pulled us in, because Trump has complete agency. Like, Trump had agency. He made this decision. But we are obviously doing it in part because Bibi knew he could manipulate Trump into doing it, because that's Trump. And so, like, people have got to be able to talk about this forthrightly and do it in a way, not just do it in a way. Like, you can tell which people are anti-Semitic and using it as a cudgel for their anti-Semitism, versus people who are able to criticize Israel in a way that is straightforward and real, but that is not steeped in anti-Semitism.
But is passionate and care about it, you know, care about this stuff with passion. I feel this way about Israel, but I guess I understand why some people are excited about some of the ones that dabble, that are you know, have more of the problematic
other statements on Israel. Apparently, Truss has discussed firing Attorney General Bondi.
For who?
I don't know, Ian. I'm going to go look up the article.
Hmm. I would be surprised, but...
I would be very surprised. She's done everything he's asked. Mm. Here's the article if you want it.
If she was actually... If Trump wanted to make changes to his cabinet, I imagine there'd be the impetus would be on it in the next, like, few months, right?
Yeah. It would because be with Lee once Zeldin.
Lee Zeldin. Once the Democrats take over the Senate, there's a chance that he's not going to get crazy people confirmed.
Yes.
With Lee Zeldin, the EPA administrator. Okay.
But... It's really surprising because Bondi hasn't done anything, at least we've seen publicly, that he hasn't
been. I mean, she's been ineffective as fuck. But I mean, like, she's smart and she, like, goes to bat for Trump as much as possible.
Yeah, I think Trump might actually watch all of these fucking hearings in Congress. Because anytime any of these retards look bad in there, I feel like they get fired. Kristi Noem, after her big one, she got fired nearly immediately after.
Yeah, but Noem was retarded. Like, she wasn't even good at defending anything publicly. She was just a liability and an idiot.
She was an idiot.
Because they want somebody whose passion about what is happening to people is commensurate with the actions, you know, and if you're a person that has been consuming a lot of and seeing everything that happened in Gaza and seeing what's happening in the West Bank right now, and you're mad about it, you want a politician that's going to be fucking mad about it. And I feel that way right now about the war in Iran totally, and about the Trump and the DHS shutdown and the immigration regime. Like, I'm fucking mad. Like, so I can connect with them. I want a Democrat that's mad about that stuff. And if the only ones that are showing passion are, like, going to be the ones that are out on the fringes, like, that's a problem. You know, I mean, I think that like, that's why I keep mentioning Ruben lately, because at least Ruben, you can tell that Ruben Gallego is fucking pissed about this war. Like, he served in the war and he's fucking pissed about it. It's stupid. Like, you can just tell, like, by seeing his interviews and looking at his tweets. And he's like, I don't want other guys going to serve in stupid wars in the Middle East. Like, I had to. This is a waste. This is dumb. This is irresponsible. He's mad. And it, like, it is a little frustrating that there's so few people that are, like, expressing that anger across a wide range of things. Like, and the Israel issue is one of them.
Well, it's because they're overly studious about it, right? They are so afraid of putting a foot wrong one way or the other. And this is where so much of my advice boils down to say what you think. Say what you think and come what may. Like, if you are mad about this war, and if you think that there are ways in which our relationship with Israel is becoming, it's not what it was 20 years ago. Bibi Netanyahu is not the leadership of 20 years ago. Like, it's okay to talk about that.
Actually, he is.
17.
Oh. Well, sorry. 17
now. Well, and even more than that.
I mean, it seems like he's getting more done than ever before, I've seen.
Yeah, but also I think Netanyahu was prime minister from 95 to 99. Can somebody correct me if I'm wrong, though? So I think, yeah, it has been more than 20 years.
That's a long time ago.
Oh. But he's been in power for so long.
I thought I got outside him with 20 years, but even
you had my 3 years. Yeah, I think he's in year 17.
It would be helpful to the discourse if Israel and the current government of Israel stopped acting in such a way as to validate some of the most strident criticisms of the state of Israel. And we can come back to that later.
Yeah, but I want to be able. Okay, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I just like I want to be able to. I want somebody who's able to speak with authority about the horrors of October 7th, who doesn't sympathize with Hamas or say that the Hamas flag, or was it? It wasn't the Hamas flag that Hassan I saw him cheering on. It was like Hezbollah. Like, I don't want that. That I don't think that's. I don't think that's in bounds. Like, I don't think people should be following that. I think that is leading people to a bad place. Nick Fuentes and his, like, sly...
Even that is not close to what... It was Hassan watching and cheering on a terrorist attack. You saw that, right?
No.
You absolutely did.
No, I didn't. I was not. I was offline.
You weren't part of us for the Hassan upset? Wait, you haven't seen this?
No.
No, wait. Was it the Houthis or was it Hezbollah? I thought it was...
Oh, I saw this. Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't Hamas that he was cheering on. He was cheering on the Houthis with, like, NMP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was, like, cheering for them. It was a...
Yeah, and they're a very musical
people.
It was
people, a terrorist and he's like, takeover yes. of a civilian ship. Like.
Yes. I can't believe he didn't get, like, giga banned for it. He brought a terrorist onto his stream.
Yeah.
Comedy routine that also includes a little light Holocaust denialism is not what you want. It's not, like, there has to be people who are speaking in the affirmative in a way that holds more nuance and has all human beings at the center of what they want, that cares about people and cares about Americans and like our role in the world and can talk about that. And I feel like the problem is that in absence of that, people go to these darker people for the part that they like, and that drags them further into the radicalization.
Well, I mean, the good news is, if recent American history is any guide, people will respond to nuance and serious substantiveness and not be pulled out by flashy, insane things being spat by the worst populace.
Why do we not have our Democratic leaders on news platforms like Republicans do constantly talking? It feels really stupid that they don't do this because it just gives the Republicans the microphone.
I mean, right now, because we just don't have, like, an ideological center to the party. Like, who is writing and defending, the center-left ideology?
Buttigieg.
Yeah.
That's it. And he's not even in a position right now, so.
All right. Last bit before we get...
Right now, we want the Republicans to be the focus since everything is going to shit, no?
Well, yeah, they can be the focus, but we need our people in the background, like, working on the party.
Working on the party, telling people that we're working, you know. Mm-hmm. Ugh, there's just too many fucking old people in the Senate.
This is just so crazy. Just kidding, wait, this clip is deleted.
Gary removed?
This is the one you were talking about, I think you watched.
Yep, I've seen this one. Oh. He just gets up and leaves this on.
That's not even what I was thinking of, though.
No, I've never seen him cheer for terrorists taking over a ship, no.
Oh, it might be part of this, maybe.
Because they say it. They're like, listen, we don't like you. We're not a fan of you, okay?
So this is like a third party.
Yeah, this is a group of people that are like, no, we care about the Palestinians. We don't want you bombing them.
They don't care.
So we're going to fucking take action. And we're going to try to punish you economically to the best of our ability. And by God, they started doing that, and they were doing it real well. So... They started taking over these ships. They started,
like, they started targeting the ships. If you pass through, they communicate with you. They're like, hey, where are you going? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. If you're trying to get in there, we're going to fucking bomb you.
Are there people on this helicopter right now?
Yes. What do you mean? Of course there are people on this helicopter. What do you think is a fucking drone?
Kind of, from this angle.
No, there are people on this helicopter.
So this is like a hostile... They're streaming this?
Yeah, yeah. They're flexing.
What? And they're coming in hot with guns.
Yeah, but you have to understand, this is a deterrent, right?
Like, this is crazy. He's just cheering on. This is just a terror. This is terrorism. This is a terrorist hijacking of a ship.
It's just so a random ship of people.
Not even random. Well, yeah, civilians. It's one moving through. What the fuck is that? Straight on their way to the Suez Canal, south of Yemen, whatever the fuck that is.
Our goal is to film it and show it to the world.
The Red
so, like,
sea, whatever
other,
the fuck that is.
Other companies that don't want to risk having this happen to their product, having this happen to their ships, literally are like, okay, we're not going to use the trade route anymore. All of a sudden, if you don't use the trade route, trade gets more expensive for the West. All of a sudden, if you can't use that trade route, the Israeli port is going to get bankrupt.
Isn't he just explaining how it's terrorism?
Israel is not going to be able to get the materials in time that they need for waging their war. Israeli society is going to start getting upset. They're going to be like, I can't get my treats. I can't get my Amazon Prime deliveries. What the fuck is going on? I hate this. Israel sucks. I'm leaving Israel. That's the goal. The goal is
like, yeah. Him acting like they're only doing it to Israeli ships also. This is not true. This is not an Israeli ship. Like, they were just doing this to random civilian
It's just
ships.
A random
yeah,
ship.
Just
yeah.
Fucking retarded.
They're doing like, terrorism yes. in order to enact a cause.
Yeah.
Yes.
They
have a political motive.
Sucks. Nope. Sucks. Okay, well then stop, you know, doing genocide in Gaza. And
this is wild.
So these guys did all of this, right? They did all of this.
Is that their helicopter?
Yeah.
That looks like a legit helicopter.
It is a legit helicopter.
This is wild.
Yeah. So, a new IRL streaming idea for Extra Emily. Yeah. So, they take it over. And they tell the people in the ship, it's usually like mostly Filipino people, Filipino crews.
Oh.
And they're like, all right, well, you know, we got no problems with you, you know, but you're coming with us. We're taking over the ship. So they
and
did
he
that.
Tries to downplay and it too. It's just like, oh, they just, you know, we got no problems with
always
you. We're just
the softest
taking over the
language.
Ship. It's fine.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers have guns. They're pointing it at them and telling them to get on the fucking ground. Like,
they shut down the fucking strait. Like, they almost completely shut it down with exceptions. Like, if you're, you know, I don't know, if you're like a Russian ship or some shit, if you're not going to Israel, then they let it go through. But America did not like that. America was like, we're the big bad. You're not the big bad. Who the fuck are you?
America did not like terrorism.
We were helping
News at 11.
Saudi Arabia do genocide to you, like, not that long ago. You better back down. So America started launching their fucking cruisers, okay? They started sending their big old ships. And at the time, a lot of people celebrated it. They were like, oh, the Houthis are going to learn today why, like, we don't have healthcare. And they were flexing. They were flexing that we don't have healthcare because we are the dominant force globally.
Yeah,
and I'm like, bro.
It's more making fun.
If you're not going to Israel, you can go through. Is that even true? No, of course not. This is retarded. Everything he's saying right now, he's just doing propaganda for free for these guys.
Why the do you care about being the dominant force globally when you don't have healthcare? You're an idiot. You're a loser. Anyway, so basically, they started this this operation called Prosperity Guardian, which one of my friends calls Operation Amazon Prime Shipping. But
okay.
Basically, what ended up happening with Prosperity Guardian is they started bombing these Yemeni positions. They were like, we're going to mercilessly bomb you. Oh yeah, you think you can fucking
wait, who's bombing who?
America and also wait, England.
Are we allowed to do
England America? We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Don't
big
we have
dog.
To like declare war or something before we no are we just throwing bombs for fun? What? I don't know. I thought we were supposed to do stuff like that.
Yeah, no. That's a cute question. No, we do whatever the fuck we want. Okay,
well,
the Red Sea. Here are the belligerents: the United States Navy, the Royal Navy, the Royal Australian Navy, the Royal Bahrain Naval Force, the Royal Canadian Navy, the Royal Danish Navy, the Finnish Navy. Anyway, ultimately, this coalition of Royal Navies and forces got together and they were pummeling Yemen. They were blowing up Yemeni positions where they have rockets or whatever, right? But to the Yemeni people, they were like, dog, death is all we know. We just overcame a genocide. You think this is going to fucking stop us? I'm going to make more musicals now. So they did. And they started bombing American military ships, Navy ships. They even recently, and this was kind of reported.
I don't know how
I'm not entirely
Twitch. He can celebrate this.
Yeah,
it's insane.
It's insane.
I would understand on Kick, because Kick, you can kind of say whatever you want, or Rumble. But Twitch, like, they ban people for fucking insanely less.
Well, now I don't know what they ban for anymore. I mean, look at Asmongold.
Yeah. Asmongold is... I think that Twitch is so hurting for money that they just let people say whatever the fuck they want now.